The Morning Brew is brought to you by West Rock Coffee.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna eat lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers, stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. It's some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
He does not typically handle the bat well. This could be a double play. There's one. Double play. Nolan got there in a hurry, and he fired a strike to Story, who threw an absolute bullet to first.
AT&T Sportsnet there with the highlight as the, I guess, surging Rockies hit the road for three in Seattle against the fourth best in Major League with wins, Seattle Mariners. Germán Márquez on the mound tonight, and I have to give the Rockies credit. Just as I was ready to write them off in June, they've sucked me back in. This recent wave of really, really good pitching has me curious, and I will be tuning in tonight very eager to see if this thing can continue. Three and a half games out of first place. I'm back on the horse.
I know it. Just
I'm feeling
when you think
pretty
you're
optimistic.
Out, they suck you back in, don't
they? I
gotta
admit, they've done it. Have they done it for you?
Yes, they have. Hey, listen, I told you they went eight games out when they were six games out. I said, hey, this is gonna be the stretch. They went to San Francisco for a three game set. Then they went to LA for a three game set. Back home to San Francisco. Now out to Seattle, then Arizona, then Seattle again. I'm like, if they play the way they're playing, they're going to be 10 games plus out. And here they are. They were eight games out. And I'm like, after two games in San Francisco, they were eight games out. And I was like, here we go. And I'm telling you what, man, you want to talk about studding up, flipping the switch, call it whatever you want. Gotten great pitching. There's been a little bit of a resurgence. And you know, I don't think it's coincidental. It's Nolan Arenado goes off. They send John Gray down. And this team has this team has been a different team, and they're facing a really good, play it close to the vest, but a really good Seattle team. So it's a great test for them on the road in Seattle. And last year, remember, they played Seattle. They played Seattle. Seattle, like, thumped them early and put them on a kind of downward spiral for a while, and then they had to regain themselves. So this is a great test for them.
Nine games between now and the All-Star break. Six with Seattle, three with Arizona. Here we go. Next on the Morning Brew.
These 12 young boys are trapped in this cave all day. They've been sending in the rescue dive team supplies. At this stage, the best option for these missing children is to get them out, possibly using a full face mask accompanied by Navy SEAL teams.
Yeah, that is from USA Today Audio, this captivating, the whole world is paying attention to this trapped soccer team from Thailand. And the update we had for you yesterday was they were like preparing supplies and everything for the idea that it could be 4 months before they come out as they wait for the rainy season to end. Well, now, after yesterday, a Thai SEAL, Navy SEAL, passed out underwater on an overnight mission, was unable to be revived. He passed away, and now they're saying there's a limited amount of time to get them out as weather's gotten worse and lowered oxygen levels in the underground cavern that they're in. So now all of a sudden, we're not talking about 4 months. Now they're saying they got to do this sooner rather than later.
Right.
And they're talking about having these boys swum out with
accompanied by a seal,
yeah.
Well, and you've already had one trained diver pass away. I heard analysis of this plan, and the analysis wasn't good. Like, you're going to lose a bunch of those or several of those soccer players, because if trained SEALs are dying in the caverns trying to rescue them, how's a kid that's untrained gonna be able to do that? I mean, just a tragic story. Just a tragic story.
Well, it's gone from being very hopeful to, like you said, right now now all of a sudden you're getting very concerned. But we'll see what happens today. Next on the Morning Brew.
Shotgun. Hole. Hole's back again. He's looking. He's pumping. He is going deep. And is it a touchdown? I'm awaiting the signal.
It is.
It is. Touchdown. It goes all the way. way down. A 22-yard touchdown to Clement.
Eagles radio, man, don't wake Nick Foles up. He's having his 15 minutes. He's enjoying it. Super Bowl MVP. And now he's released a book, autobiography, called Believe It. It is set to debut at number 5 on the New York Times hardcover nonfiction list.
Man, that guy was out. He was going to go to seminary. He's out of football. The KC Chiefs, Andy Reid and Doug Peterson, like, no, you need a football year of rehab. They get him out there, and then Peterson brings him. It's an incredible story. Yeah, I mean, he had sound yesterday. We talked about it on Speak for Yourself about, like, hey, there's a lot of GMs that are just going to disqualify me, but, like, I'm happy here right now, and I just don't want to be traded somewhere, you know, where it's not the right system, it's not the right fit, and some GMs be like, oh, he doesn't want to win. You know, and we talked about it, and I'm like, you know, he's smart. This is not about not wanting to compete. This is about going, there are certain places in the NFL where you can compete. He spent 2 years with Jeff Fisher and the Rams. Todd Gurley is out here saying, thank God for Sean McVay. Like, if football's fun again, you know? Like, he knows there's certain teams that you go, there's certain places you go, your career comes to an end. You're not going to win there. So he's like, why would I want to get traded out of a great situation? I'll be Carson Wentz's backup. If they need me, I'm ready to play. Why can't I wait till free agency and go to a place that I know has the desire to win? I mean, that makes all the sense in the world to me.
Next on the Morning Brew.
And I showed it to my fiance, who's a huge Hunter S. Thompson fan. And we read it. And I just, the absurdity of the fact that, A, Hunter S. Thompson knew who I was, and B, that he was trying to persuade Mr. Irsay to draft me instead was just comical. And not to see it for 20 years, how does it, it's just nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found.
Right.
So that's Ryan Leaf talking about a letter that he got a hold of from Hunter S. Thompson, the author known for his drug-fueled gonzo journalism. I got that from Pro Football Talk. was a football fan and a friend of Colts owner Jim Irsay. And it turns out that Thompson was among those who believed that the Colts should take Ryan Leaf over Peyton Manning. And he was given this copy of a letter that Thompson sent to Irsay, in which it said, quote, "Dear James, in response to your addled request for a quick $30 million loan to secure the services of the Manning kid, I have to say no at this time. But the Leaf boy is another matter. He looks strong and Manning doesn't, or at least not strong enough to handle that welcome to the NFL business for 2 years without a world-class offensive line. How are you fixed at left OT for the next few years, James? Think about it. You don't want a China doll back there when that freak sap comes crashing in. Okay, let me know if you need some money for Leaf. I expect to be very rich when this Depp movie comes out." Which was what? Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. How about that? Hunter S. Thompson. Great writer. Terrible evaluator of talent.
That'll do it. Although he did have Warren Sapp pegged, right?
Yeah, but
you don't want that freak Sapp coming in.
Right, but Warren Sapp was an inside player. He wasn't over the left tackle. So, you know, I mean, here's a guy. You can't take his word.
Pinky good brain.
Come on, Hunter.
Was Warren Sapp somebody you had an easy time with, or you struggled with him?
No, I played well against
him. You played well against him?
Yeah.
Cortez Kennedy was the one that...
No, I crushed Cortez.
You crushed Cortez.
Yeah. I crushed
most people. Was there anybody that you, like, really...
Struggled with? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a couple guys. But not mainstream names. The good guy, the Hall of Fame players, like, if they were here, Cortez, God rest his soul, he passed away. But Sapp would tell you that I had his number. I tell you, Phil Hanson from Buffalo was a rotational guy.
Yep, remember
hated
him.
Hated playing against Phil Hanson. Dennis Byrd before the neck injury. Mm-hmm. Dennis Byrd, gave me fits in a preseason game. Pierce Holt, most people don't even know who Pierce Holt is, played for San Francisco and Atlanta.
Yep.
Pierce drove me bananas. Because he was just like, you ain't getting your hands on me. He'd line up 4 yards off the ball. He'd be in the linebacker spot in a 4-point
stance. Like, I can't upkick you.
Yeah. Hey, let me get my hands on you. He'd come running at me like the Tasmanian devil. Just hands flailing all over the place. Big spaz. I hated playing against him, too.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. It's an Is It Just Me Friday Hot Sports opinions to get off your chest. They'll come your way next.